Mrayuchtuden.
Mrayuchtuden.
Sober as... Sober... Sober... Sober as...
Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On this show, I have Nikki Corbett. Nikki owns her own business and brand called So Yupik. That's S-E-W, Yupik. She's the host of her own podcast called All Things So Yupik. On her podcast, she shares her own healing journey and what has helped her along the way. She also shares about parenting and also reparenting her inner child. Nikki is from Mamtereshlik, Alaska, also known as Bethel. On this show, Nikki shares about her healing journey, and we discuss some difficult topics like grief, trauma, drama responses, therapy, growing up with alcoholism in our family, and our own struggles with alcohol, and our path to healing ourselves. So guys, please help me welcome Nikki Corbett. Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Can you, first of all, go ahead and kind of introduce yourself so the listeners can get to know you?
Sure. Gasatun or Yuchtun? Or both?
Both, yeah.
Okay. Hwakka kulukkawa mamtirishak miungunga dagwam saltatna mi witatunga anaka goshok nuna pichok miu ataka dana santaski mishikin nami ubayam naruslam shu tutrakanga nuna pichok nik Louis Irene shu asantaski mishikin ami yupiuga dagwam Polish ami. So, my name is Nikki. My Yupik name is Gulukak. I'm named after my pop's first cousin, Gulukak. She was from Igmiut, Ig. I'm originally from Bethel, but I live here in Soldotna. And I introduced my parents, and I introduced my grandparents, and I'm Yupik and I'm Polish. And I started So Yupik in the summer of 2015 after I won the Best in the West grant. And I've been doing that ever since.
Wow, so cool. And So Yupik is your brand. You do not only make your own like gaspaks and stuff like that, but you teach as well.
Yeah, I started teaching in the fall of 2015 through the University of Alaska Fairbanks Kuskokwim campus. And since then, I've been traveling around the state and teaching classes around the state. And it's been really fun. And I also teach other things, other sewing workshops. And I really make it a point when I'm working with my students in my class, I share a lot about my story and how reconnecting with my Yupik culture has been really helping me and to be able to share, because as Yupik people, we're taught to always share, you know, stay humble and be sharing. And so it's not my knowledge to be stingy of it, that the knowledge that I've learned along the way, I really try to teach as many as I can, because if, you know, these are things that should be shared in the home. And if they're not shared in the home, I really just love to be able to share what I know.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really like Yupik thing, you know, it's just give more than you receive.
You know? I'm a really bad business person because I'll teach as many people as I can so I don't have to make qasbaks. I used to take qasbaks orders in the beginning, and I don't do that anymore. But I'm always like, if I can teach you, and then if you teach somebody else, or if you make them for somebody else, that's less people that I have contacting me to be like, hey, can I buy a kasbuk?
That's so cool. Yeah. Like I was saying, I listened to all of your episodes except for this last one because you just released it today, right?
I did last night. Yeah. My episodes, I have to record them at night when the kids are asleep. Otherwise, you'll hear them in the background. They'll be playing and running around. And so it's, I usually record them late at night, and I don't consider myself like a podcaster. I mean, I don't know if there's a thing, but I don't have really like a, there's no agenda for me. So it's things that kind of come across and they hit me or it strikes a nerve and it's something that I want to talk about, then I'll just share that. But I hope to eventually expand. My goal is to be able to, you know, connect with elders and have elders share their stories, because that's something that is really lacking, I guess, for those of us who don't live, you know, within the villages. And so to be able to connect and share stories on a larger scale, like through a podcast or, you know, videos and that kind of thing, I would really love to share that, because, you know, we always value our elders and the kids. And so, you know, our elders are dying, that the generation that lived, you know, based around the seasons, and that's the generation that are, you know, they're a lot older now. So I want to be able to capture those stories at some point. And so that's my goal down the road, to be able to do that and, you know, record my family and my elders and to have them share stories, because I think that's so important.
Yeah, definitely. And the work that you are doing is not only starting that, but hard things that you talk about, you know, you can't put a price on that, because what you're discussing, people really need to hear it, because a lot of the times, like you said, our trauma, we had bad ways of dealing with it. And the way that you kind of explain your own healing process and your own path, it's really knowledgeable, you know, like me, I just talk about things that happen to me, but when you explain it, I'm like, I can understand it. You know, you have a way of teaching that is easy for people to understand, I think. And just by listening to your podcasts recently, I just noticed in my own self that, you know, I have been on both fences. I've been the alcoholic parent that, you know, unfortunately I am living that right now with my oldest not being, you know, not talking to me and kind of distancing herself because of my actions, you know, from before when I was a really bad alcoholic, to now living the life of trying to live a better existence and a better life. And not only that, trying to understand what I went through. And maybe at the same time, I can do this and, you know, share myself and listen to other people's stories. And maybe that can help people.
Yeah, it's really hard to kind of, you know, as a child of a, you know, a parent who struggled with addiction, and to be on that side of having, you know, at a young age was when the name calling started. And there was, you know, there's a lot of anger and hurt and things that I've had to go through and to work through and to deal with. And it's been really hard, because there have been a lot of things along the way that I have had to learn. And one of the things that has really helped me, in one book that I really, you know, encourage folks to listen to or read, or, you know, if you've had trauma or dealt with trauma, is that, you know, Oprah Winfrey has this book called What Happened to You. And that one really helped me to look at my mom in a new light, and to look at her in a way that she herself was someone who was struggling, and instead of working with it and working through her own traumas that she experienced, you know, she dealt with it in an unhealthy way. And, you know, even though I don't agree with that, it helped me to look at her with in another light. And so the book, and not just with her, but with anybody I look at, it's really helped me to look at people and how they respond, and in understanding trauma responses and coping mechanisms, and really looking into all of those things. It's really helped me, because when I look at someone and if I see that they're responding in a certain way, or if they're really angry, or, you know, have a lot of resentment, it helps me to look at them and to just kind of be like, okay, what happened to you? Something happened to you, and you're working with, you know, and they're dealing with it in their own way. And a couple of really good resources too that have helped me, Dr. Gabor Mate, he's really good on talking about trauma and trauma and just everything around trauma and the sort of things that we do to cope with them. And it goes as far as into illnesses and the signs and symptoms and all of those things with that. And so he's been really helpful in just all of his resources that I find in understanding, you know, with my trauma and everything else, and then Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, that was a really good book as well. And so those are things that have really helped me. But there's been a lot of things that I've read along the way that have helped me, and just really to understand that because of her trauma, obviously I look at it in a way that I look at her and she was hurting at the time, but I don't excuse the behavior that she exhibited towards me as a result of her substance abuse. And so I'm very forgiving in the aspect, but more so I forgave myself in the process, because I had to forgive myself for the ways that I had to cope. And basically I was in survival mode for a long time until I became aware of the behaviors and the habits. And becoming aware was probably one of the hardest things to do, because as someone who suffered from childhood trauma, and, you know, they call it complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's just a continuous amount of traumas just that is piled up on each other. And it's not just one incident, but that I learned along the way that it's okay to accept help. But it was something, as a trauma response, my thing was always like, I'm gonna do it on my own, and I don't need any of your help. And so it's that ultra independence. But really the one thing is just trying to understand the behaviors and the patterns, but also not excusing that behavior, right? And so putting up boundaries was something that was really important to me. And it was something that, you know, some individuals had a hard time understanding, because, I mean, we don't put boundaries up. So like, what's a boundary? Mm-hmm. And so it was a hard thing for some, you know, some individuals to understand, because they didn't understand that level of like, how come you have to put a boundary up, you know, like, you know, their family.
Yeah.
And, but it's just something that really I struggled with, but I knew I had to put that boundary in place in order for me to heal and protect myself, and mostly to protect me and my family. And so I'm still working through it. I'm still healing through it. There's some things that I'm going to be healing through that are really deep. The really deep, deep trauma that I experienced as a kid. And so I'm working through that, but it's a hard process, and it's lonely. And so finding that community is really important.
Mm-hmm. Man, it took me, I've been to how many different treatments, and this last one, it took me How many years to even to try to think about talking, you know, trying to let it all out, because all I did before was, you know, get drunk and gack and, you know, and just let it all explode after I got drunk, you know, and that was my unhealthy coping mechanisms for the longest time, you know.
Yeah.
But just talking to the clinician in there, just, it was such a difference. It made me like, it felt like weight lift was lifted, you know. And now I continue to see that same therapist, you know, 2 times a month, and just to, you know, decompress. And even doing this it's a heavy subject and a lot of heavy stories are coming, you know. But I got to remind myself that it's not only all the stories that people tell, it's all of the, you know, overcoming.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about, you know, living through those traumas, and, you know, maybe even talking to someone in a safe place will help a little bit. And people, some people live through it both ways. Like, you've been through the trauma, like you said, it stems from trauma yourself, and then you start using whatever substance you use to cope with it. And then that, it's just like a chain, you know, like a cycle. And now I think people are starting to open up a little bit more, like doing, sharing their stories and being able to talk. It may be helping to break that stigma and cycle of, you know, generational trauma.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, my parents' generation, you know, they're the generation that were in school. And so they were the ones that were kind of, that's where the generational trauma stems from. And then not only from, you know, my parents' generation, but my grandparents' generation, because they were the ones that were living off the land and, you know, going from camp to camp and subsisting, you know, solely subsisting for, you know, to live. And so that trauma that starts, you know, my mom's 73, and so that would have been a long time ago, and, you know, passing through me. And then, you know, I my older brother, he was raised by my grandparents. And so I see that might have affected him, you know, even though he was loved so much immensely by my grandparents, you know, his parents didn't raise him. And so from that, you know, there's trauma that stems from that. And it breaks my heart. And that, you know, when I see people who can't talk about it, right, or don't acknowledge it, or, you know, acknowledge it maybe in a way that is not healthy. And so talking about it is so, it's so healing, but also it connects us, because, you know, we're not the only ones that have suffered trauma. There are so many others out there who have suffered trauma, and then not only suffered trauma, but generational trauma. And so the trauma that I'm healing from is the trauma from my grandparents and my parents and now me. So this is 3 generations of trauma that I'm healing from in order for my children not to have to go through it. And so many people are not strong enough, or maybe not aware of it, and, you know, utilize unhealthy coping mechanisms that may potentially be affecting the next generation. And so I go to therapy, and it's really helpful. I have an Inupiaq therapist, which is even more amazing, because she understands our ways of life, because, you know, she herself has, you know, similarities, and not having to express or not having to explain a backstory, or having to explain, you know, like, okay, so this is how the family systems work and that kind of thing. It's been really amazing to just have her as a therapist, because she understands, and I don't have to explain any situation. Whereas I think if it maybe were a non-native therapist, you know, who's not from Alaska, you kind of have to give a backstory, which might be exhausting, right? And So finding her, you know, finding a really good therapist and having her as a therapist has been really amazing, because it's just, I never really understood or appreciated that. And to have someone who understands how we live, or, you know, how that generational trauma, because, I mean, obviously they can learn it in books, but, you know, if you have someone who's living it, or who has lived it, or who has, you know, family or going through it. And so it's been really awesome to have that and have her as a resource.
Man, it is so important. Because, you know, even in treatment, alcohol treatment or substance abuse treatment, that's really helpful too, because you said you can't learn everything in a book, and that's how they used to do it, was like, you know, out of workbooks and stuff like that, you know, like, okay, you go to chapter one and you're done with that. Now you can fix yourself this way. But having like peer support people or people that have been through it, this last time I went through treatment was just like a tremendous help, because I had kind of a trust, you know, I could actually trust, like, they went through it, you know, and they know, mm-hmm. know how I feel and how I'm dealing with stuff or not dealing with stuff even. But I wanted to go back to the boundaries part of it. You explained how you had to put up boundaries, and, you know, I had to put up a boundary or two with my family too, but it's so hard. Like you said, it's your blood. What are you doing? You know, we're family. You can't, you know, and I'm having to deal with that too with my daughter. And I understand that, you know, that is what is needed to people, you know, like me, when I had to set up boundaries. And it's so hard when family members come up to you and or, you know, say we're blood, we're family, you can't do this, you know, this is not how it's done or whatever. But they don't understand the exhaustion and just the emotions that come with even talking to somebody, you know, that sometimes the boundaries are definitely so needed, and it's something that we have to work through, you know.
Yeah, it's hard, because it's a hard, so growing up with trauma and then going through and trying to set boundaries is a really hard concept, because for so long, as for myself, like, I've always seeked the approval and validation and need from other people. And so when I, you know, and of course, avoiding conflict, because conflict was something that I had dealt with for so long, and having to put that boundary in place or boundaries in place was, it was really hard. And then even putting boundaries in place, I found myself over explaining, because I was trying to get people to understand. And it's not that boundaries are something that would be there forever, right? It's something that, in order for me to be able to heal and to be healthy, that I needed to do so, and in order to keep moving forward. Otherwise, I would keep going backwards, and that's not somewhere I want to go. And so being really mindful of it, and how I, you know, shared that information before in the past, I used to just really try to get people to understand. But now I have learned that I don't owe anyone an explanation. And the only people that I owe an explanation to is my family and my close family, right? So, like, my husband, and when my kids get older, you know, I'll share that information with them. But it's just, it's needed and it's necessary. Otherwise, it's, if I were to constantly have contact with my mom, it would put me in a place where I don't want to be, and I don't like to be in that spot. And so, and I've already dealt with the trauma towards me for a very long time. And now that I'm old enough and I'm strong enough to be able to say enough is enough, and this is what I will allow you to, you know, this is how I will allow you to treat me. And if you can't respect that, then, you know, I love you so much and I wish you the best. But unfortunately, like, we cannot have a relationship here. And so you know, because I think a lot of people think that, oh, you have a boundary in place, you're just a mean and hurtful person and you have no love for her, and which is the complete opposite, right? I have nothing but love for her and I want her to get healthy. And of course, you know, I want her to be able to meet my children. But if she's not healthy and if she's not in a healthy space, I really am careful around who I allow my children around or who I will allow around my children, because I have been hurt for a long time. And that was just a really tough, difficult decision to make. And I used to question myself a lot, but over the years, as I've gotten, you know, I've learned a lot of things along the way. I've learned that it, you know, it's okay. This is healthy and it's not going to be forever. And I do hope that my mom gets better. And I hope that she, you know, she does find the strength to, you know, quit drinking. But, you know, while she's drinking, I can't have a relationship. And that's just what it has to be.
Well, Nikki, is there anything before we end this, is there anything or any encouragement you'd like to say to people who are listening right now? You know, not only about trauma or anything like that, but, you know, just encouraging words or anything you'd like to share.
You know, something that I always just kind of share is that we're all kind of on our own journeys and our own paths, whether we know it or not. And so the one thing that I always stress and cannot stress enough is that kindness goes a long way. And just being kind to anyone, right? People that you know, people that you don't know, people that you meet along the, you know, the way, and just, or that you see in passing, that, you know, being kind is not hard. It's free. It goes a long way. And that you just never know what someone's going through at the time. And really just, you know, the one thing that I always encourage is that trauma is trauma, regardless of what it is, right? No matter what kind of trauma you've experienced, there's no level or degrees of trauma. And so in comparing traumas and that kind of stuff, that, you know, that's not a healthy way to kind of look at things. Just really being aware that, you know, there's no degrees of trauma, that we are all on our own paths in some way or another. And some of us are aware and some of us are not aware, and that, you know, kindness goes a long way.
All right, Nikki, thank you again for, you know, coming on here and sharing. So I really appreciate you.
You're welcome, Boyana, for having me.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project, Saturdays at 3 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m. on KSKO, serving the western interior of Alaska for more than four decades. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.